Our reading today comes in the form of a video. Some of you may have seen the Luma recordings of the Bible dramatized. If you haven't, they're very spectacular.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
During Advent, we have had a number of monologues during our services. We had one of Zechariah, we had a story about Mary, and now we come to the shepherds. This is a shepherd monologue. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's not that bad, you know, being a shepherd. I like it. It wasn't always that way, though, not at all. Many things have changed in my life. Lots of dust has blown in the wind to get me to this place, where I can say to you, I love my life, I love life, and I love the Lord of life. The one who fashioned us from clay with a calloused hand made soft by love. Yes, lots of things change. But when you're a shepherd, there's one thing that always stays constant. Okay, two things. Sheep and dust. The land is dry most of the year. Dust is everywhere. It chafes under the straps of your sandals. It makes your lunch all gritty. It gets in your eyes and your ears and in your, well, you get the idea. The field where we were that night was just on the edge of town. And all these years later, it's barely changed. I remember Grandpa used to sit there with us, told us stories of how the Holy One was fashioned, Holy One fashioned the first people from the dust of the earth. He told us about Moses and Miriam leading the people out of slavery and how a cloud led them into the wilderness. I always pictured it as a cloud of dust swirling and shimmering and otherworldly. Like all the larger-than-life images in a young boy's head. He told us about Jeremiah and the potter and Elijah. It was fun to be out there, dust and all. But I'm not here to tell you those stories. Grandpa has long since gone. He taught me all I know about shepherding. I'm here to tell you about that one night. We were outside Bethlehem on a hillside. We wanted to stay away from the town. It was a wild place, people from everywhere traveling for the census. The roads were one big cloud of dust as travelers' feet kicked and scuffed their way into the city. But that's the emperor for you. Thinking they're God, trying to know what only God can know. And the reason for it, greed. They want your money. They want to count us so they can tax us and make sure they're not shortchanged. That night, I wish I could tell you it was a magical night, but truly it began as any other, boring, cold, ordinary night. I was with Jacob and Adam. At some point, I must have fallen asleep by the fire. And I woke up to a sound and a sight for which I have no words to explain. The sky was as bright as midday, and the clouds formed shapes. But no, they were not clouds. All I know is that from the sky came voices singing, and then one voice. Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A savior has been born in David's town, a savior who is Messiah. Master. And this is what you'll look for, a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. And then the sky was filled with a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights and peace to all on earth. And then they were gone. The sky was dark, and I lay there afraid to move. Jacob came to find me, and Adam right behind him. They both looked well. They had heard it too, and seen it. We looked at each other, turned, and started toward the town, each of us in our own world. Nobody said a word as we walked. we could not believe what we had seen and heard. To be honest, I don't really remember the walk down to town or how we knew where to go. All I remember is that suddenly we stood at the door of a house. And suddenly the spell was broken, and I was afraid, truly afraid, and Jacob too. We looked at one another as if to say, "This is too strange, let's get out of here and never speak of it again." But it was Adam, bless his cynical heart, who said, "We have to go in." And he knocked on the door. The man who opened it was radiant. You don't usually hear that said about men, but he was radiant. He didn't say a word, but welcomed us in as if he had known all along that we would arrive, and took us to the back of the place where the animals were. And there she was, crouched in the shadows, suckling a baby so newly born that the cord was not yet cut, and he was still covered in the stuff of birth. The straw beneath him was red with blood. Our eyes met. She smiled, and I smiled too. They could use an experienced hand, that new family, to get cleaned up and warm. Now, that was something I knew how to do. I helped them, not exactly the way you would with a sheep, but not that different either. We're made of the same stuff in the end, aren't we? So there we were, a young mother nursing a child and singing a lullaby and murmuring a Magnificat that we will never know, that only the child had ears to hear. The wonder of it drew me to my knees in the dust. I'm sure there were sounds, the animals, the movement of our feet in the dust and the straw, the song the mother sang, and the baby's brief cry of protest as she changed sides. But what I recall most was the silence. It was complete. And it spoke more eloquently than even an angel chorus could. It was as though we were in a bubble, isolated, insulated, suspended in the womb of the world. And that beating I felt in my chest, drawing me to my knees in the dust, that beating came from a place unknown until this moment. Outside, the heartbeat of the world was filling the skies with alleluias. But inside, the moment was still, with nothing more required than our own imperfect presence. There is mystery here. No star or heavenly anthem can explain. They merely point and say, "Emmanuel, God with us." Years later, that child would walk the roads of our land and make holy the dust of our lives. He'll write in the dust messages of hope and peace. He'll spit on it to make mud that would soothe and heal eyes grown dim. He'll stoop to wash it off the feet of his followers, and bleeding and exhausted, stumble in it, carrying a Roman cross. They would wrap his body in linen cloth and lay him in a tomb. It sounds much like what the angels said. You will find the babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. But now, just now, he lies there. Just hours old, in his infant hands, he takes the dust of our lives, our losses. Those whose lives are now ashes in the wind. Those worlds beyond our knowing, brought into being by that wild dust explosion. He takes the dusty hope we've stored away in the corner of our souls for fear it would not be true. He takes the very dust of our bodies, all of it, and with these little hands, the soft, wrinkled hands of a newborn, or as one old as the Ancient of Days, and with those hands fashions it into something beautiful and hands it back to us, whole and holy. Amen.